like all your scenes start with you being still and coming out of rubble?
Not all of them, but I guess there was, I never really thought of that, but there was a majority. You'd go to set and you'd have no idea what it would look like, and you'd find yourself in this very kind of precarious body position that was practically not even humanly possible. Thank God I do yoga. And then you'd have to try to get out of it and, you know, make it look effortless and then start sprinting or something. And in heels. So it was always very interesting. Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it was, you know, there were a lot of human traits that you just had to, try to not do, basically. Little things like blinking or even showing any signs of exertion, breathing when you're running, things like that. Obviously, you can't stop that, but especially blinking when you're shooting a weapon, which is really tough. I managed to do it about half the time. But I did a lot of training, and I think through all the training, it kind of went to the end result. I first had a nutritionalist. I put on about 15 pounds of muscle mass because I wanted to get bigger. I did weight training, weapons training. I did an Israeli form of martial arts called Krav Maga that they teach their military. And I also studied with a mime coach to get the kind of surreal human, non-human aspects of the character. So it was a lot. So through all of that, you end up with the result. I don't know. I've been having nightmares lately that I've killed someone and I'm in trouble and I'm running from the law and I'm thinking it's probably because I'm talking about this character so much. The fun part is I really pushed my physical ability to the limit, you know, doing things that I didn't think I could do, kind of functioning like an athlete on some levels. And also having the freedom to be as big or as small as you wanted to be. There were no limitations. I was really free to do and create whatever I wanted. And Jonathan was really great. He really trusted in my choices and really kind of gave me that freedom.
Coming back to that whole killing machine aspect, did you have to come to terms with that? I mean, I realize she's just a character, but she also is so blithe about, you know, tearing somebody apart and just walking away without a care in the world.
It was a little disturbing, especially when I'm shooting children. But you just try to tap into that part of the character that is separate from the kind of computer inside and the human, you know, exterior. And it's like Arnold said, you know, people have asked him, well, how do you feel, you know, you're beating up this woman and throwing her around, but to him it's a, you know, machine. So I just tried to function from that place and not get too caught up in the actual reality of things.
Has your dream always been to be an actress, or when did that kind of start?
Always. I always wanted to act from a little tiny girl on. My dad had been an actor, mainly doing theater in New York. My mom had been a model, so the arts were always kind of a part of our family. And then they bought the organic fruit farm in upstate New York, and I grew up there. But they were great. They really knew that I wanted to pursue a career in this field, so they gave me kind of a great well-rounded background growing up of dance training and horseback riding and voice and summer stock theater and lots of different things. So when I did want to pursue it professionally, I had a good background.
So what was your first thought when you got the call? Come audition to be the female coordinator?
Well, I'd put a lot of time in television and small films, and I felt like this role was really right for me. I thought things that maybe had worked against me in the past would really work for me. My height, my voice, my physicality, and it did. So I really just kind of went for it. I actually hired a trainer on my own before I even got the job, Benny the Jet, undefeated kickboxing champion, just to kind of work with that warrior mentality, just getting down some basic punches and kicks and working on a walk and a run and that sort of thing. So it was very helpful in getting the role.
How many auditions did you have?
I probably went in to see Jonathan about half a dozen times. The first few I read for him, and the latter couple were very physical, you know, run to the end of the hallway, stop, turn, look, jump over the box, fall down, get up, punch, kick. And he really said nothing, so I had no idea if I was, you know, falling the right way or not, but I guess it ended up working out.
Some of your characteristics were similar to Robert Patrick with the running and facial expression. Did you have to watch the Terminator T2 just to get the movements, the running?
Well, I was always a fan of his performance in T2. Was just really awed by his overall body control that he had, and so I think subconsciously in the back of my mind, I didn't try to copy anything that he did. I really tried to make the character my own, since she is different, and also, you know, a female. So I guess maybe subconsciously that was there.
What was your favorite weapon that she had? The fire blower, like the drill?
I think my favorite weapon for her was her ability to process information through taste. I thought that was kind of a neat twist on the character, and I thought it almost brought you into a more human side, kind of took you out of the just aggressive killing aspect. So I thought that was kind of a neat neat one to have.
You mentioned using your voice. You only had one or two opportunities to speak in the entire film, and I thought that was had to be an interesting challenge too, with as much physicality as there was in the character to be totally silent. Or if we actually heard the sound on stage, would we have heard some different things?
No, actually not. You know, it was on a need-to-know basis when she spoke, and obviously she's not going to do a lot of frivolous side conversations. But it was an interesting challenge, because I think as an actor you get really used to kind of, you know, just saying your lines and getting it out there, and that's your action and it's done. But I had nothing to hide behind. I didn't even really work a lot with the other actors unless it was Arnold and we were fighting or I was killing someone. So it was an interesting challenge to really do and create everything and get your point across in a large way or in a very small matter. So it was made for very a complete stillness that was new for me. Yeah, so I hear. I know.
Did you have to model for that, or did you have any say as to how she turned out?
Nope, not at all. Not at all. And I've only seen those two pictures too, so. Flawless, yeah. We had several different ones. We had about three different fabrics for the pants. We had a new fabric that is an actual stretch leather, stretch put behind the leather, then some real leather ones, and then some, you know, vinyl ones, depending on what I was doing, what action I was doing. The vinyl ones weren't very good because they'd always seem to split up the back, but the jackets were always the same, kind of that leather.
Is there a particular person in your life that's going to get a huge charge out of you being in a Terminator movie?
Myself? I don't know.
No, I mean like a nephew or a cousin, you know, a little brother or something.
I don't know. I don't know.
There's a lot of Terminator fans waiting for this to come out, and there's a big difference, obviously, between your Terminator and Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator. So maybe for the people that are excited, you can explain the difference. Like, what kind of Terminator you're
Well, I would just say she's the more advanced version of Robert Patrick's character in T2, and since it's a woman, she definitely plays on her feminine side to achieve her goals and get what she wants, and she's got a lot of new tricks up her sleeve.
So is this your first time seeing the
movie? In the movie, or first that I've ever done? No, I've actually done others, but the great thing about this is that it was the very last day of filming, so I really got to fine-tune my body to make it look the way I wanted it to. And there's kind of this great naivety in her, almost an innocence, coming from the future and not being aware of our society today, and then taking that woman's identity, and then it kind of propels her into that next sequence with the cop. Now all of a sudden she sees what our society deems to be attractive and kind of uses that as another tool. So it's interesting if you look at it like that. It was definitely exhilarating. It was definitely, you know, a rush. I think as an actor you like to take chances and risks, and I felt that, you know, my body was ready. So, but there's a complete detachment in the character, which kind of worked well for that scene. So I knew what I was doing, of course, but I wasn't really completely conscious or aware of it. I don't think so. I think I was more just focused on the foods leading up to that time. I mean, I really, really, really went pretty hardcore in the last like month and a half of eliminating. You know, I hadn't done carbs in a few months, any kind of complex carbs, nothing sweet, nothing dairy. You know, when I stopped, actually the next day was the first day that I went out and I had pasta, and I remember trying to eat a raisin. Just the sweetness of a raisin just made my mouth turn because I hadn't tasted something that sweet in so many months. The hardness of a chip hurt my teeth because I hadn't had anything hard like that. Hard candy ate off the skin on the roof of my mouth because it'd been so long. So it's really wild what you can do to your body and how you can train it when you abstain from something from so long. You know. Well, it was pretty interesting process figuring out how we were going to do that gag. And what ended up happening was just this, like a bra with kind of air-filled bladders underneath. And one of the guys just had a little pump and just kind of literally just pumped it up. And they didn't always work too well in the beginning, though. Sometimes they'd pump or this one would kind of fizzle out. And, you know, but we ended up getting it right. There was. Actually, he was in the effects department. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, if this is obviously something that's going to come with being able to do the kind of work that I'd like to do, then, you know, I'll just have to take it as it comes. I didn't, no. I mean, I have seen parts of it, but I didn't do any kind of voiceover for it or anything. No, we did the motion capture for the end of the film when I'm coming through the door. So all of those movements were actually my movements, as basically with all of the CG stuff was always laid over my movements, and even the facial expressions, that was all laid over my own face. So it's kind of wild to see that. Not really, actually. I've never been one much for video games, so it's kind of cool, I guess, but...
I read on your website that you rode across Namibia, or 300 miles across Namibia.
Yeah, I'm also an equestrian, and we do some pretty outrageous rides every year, and the most recent one was Namibia, Africa. We started inland, made our way to the coast, and covered about 300 miles in 10 days, and... ran with herds of oryx and springbok and kudu and zebra and ate all wild game and slept under the stars. And actually, it was over 9/11, and we were so far removed from society that we were probably some of the few people that didn't even hear about what happened until we got back and we saw a flag flying half-mast, and that was the first that I... That was my first key that anything was wrong. Yeah, so it's pretty wild.
When you ride up into some remote village in the
Well, it's interesting because Namibia is about the size from like London to Vienna, and there's 1 million people in the whole country. So when we were in the desert, when we were in the Namib desert, we didn't see anybody. We didn't even see a house or a person or a car. So it was a pretty wild experience.
So Kristen, when you were a kid, you
played
flamingo, is that correct?
Oh my gosh. Where did that come from? It's in there? Oh my gosh.
Was there one
I'm sorry, what was the last? Yeah, definitely. It was like, you know, the tall, skinny, scrawny girl. So
at what point did you
Probably when I was about, I'd say like 15. Yeah, it seemed to be. I started working professionally, and I think when I was actually maybe a little earlier, 13, when, you know, things started to shift a little bit.
What about being behind the wheel? How much does that mirror your real driving
technique? Ha! Oh, boy. Well, in some ways, quite a bit. In other ways, not so much. I've toned down my driving, but that was pretty fun. That was pretty powerful. A lot of long days in the hot head-to-toe leather and 100-degree downy heat, but other than that, it was fun. It was definitely fun. And there was actually no glass on the front of it, so, you know, all these little things. You're driving really fast, and you're trying not to blink. You can't blink, and you're throwing dirt. Shit, it's coming, and you're like, I'm not blinking. So it's little things like that, you know.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thank you.